This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is maybe, because he's out the door after this season, and who knows, you know, what his basketball future looks like at this point. This could be DeMarcus Cousins' only chance to ever play in an NBA Finals. I got news for you. It's not that the guy doesn't care or he's not willing to put in the effort. He came back from a torn quad to play in these games. Now, is he anywhere near 100%? Oh, God, no. I mean, you can just see it. He's laboring. But I'm not going to hold that against him. They need him, okay? Now, it'd be nice if he could give you, you know, 15 and 10, right? I just don't think he's capable of it right now. And Steve Kerr had to pull the plug on him pretty quick in game four. He only played him 15 minutes because he saw he just didn't have it. Unfortunately, Andrew Bogut's only got so much. He'll give you that physicality, some good passing, some good screen setting, a little bit of rebounding. I mean, he had to play Kevon Looney 20 minutes on one arm. That's how dire this situation's gotten. All right, let's go to Craig in San Francisco real quick. Go ahead, Craig.
Oh, hey there. Question for you. I want to get your thoughts on Durant. Everybody keeps coming up with all these scenarios, but my question for you is, if we don't win, does that give Durant more reason to stay with the team and try for redemption next year? Or if by some miracle he comes back, plays tomorrow, we win the title, and then he goes off into the sunset as the savior of the team, what's your thoughts on that?
Okay. All right, cool. Thanks for the call, Craig. Appreciate it. Well, a couple things. And it's tough because you don't know where Kevin Durant's head's at right now. You know, maybe he's just had enough and he wants a change of scenery. I don't know. We haven't heard from Kevin Durant. Would it be storybook that Kevin Durant rides into town in game five, leads the Warriors to a win, and they, you know, somehow come back and rally from 3-1 to win this series? Well, of course. I mean, that's storybook right there. And in the process, you know, maybe even recaptures the mantle as the best player in the NBA. The problem with KD, quote, coming back next year for redemption if it doesn't go their way, that would require him signing another one of those one-and-ones, the two-year deal with the 1 year and the player option for the second year. We saw Draymond, what was the tipping point for their little boil over back in November was the fact that KD hasn't committed long-term. And I think at this point, I don't know that anybody is up for another 1-and-1. Now, if that's all Kevin Durant will agree to, and that's the cost of keeping him here, without question, like Bob Myers and Joe Lacob, they're going to be willing to do that. Because we also need to consider with Kevin Durant, if he leaves, they can't just take that money that they were going to give Kevin Durant and offer it to somebody else. The only reason that they can pay Kevin Durant what they can, even though they're already up against the salary cap, is to dip into the luxury tax, right, and pay the premium. Now, thankfully, Uncle Joe Lacob, he's got deep pockets, right, so he's able to do that. But if he leaves, you don't just get to fill that hole with another max contract. It's just not how it works. So that's going to be a problem that they're going to have to deal with regardless. If Kevin Durant decides to leave, that's going to be a massive hole that they're not going to be able to fill. Now, only KD knows whether or not he wants to stay. But I don't know that this whole organization is going to be up for another one of those 1-and-1s. I don't see it. I don't see it working out. I think it's time for Kevin Durant to commit because I think a lot of the angst, I don't want to call it animosity because I have a real hard time with that for a guy that's brought you two finals MVPs, right? And chose to come here as a free agent, even took a little less money to help re-sign Andre Iguodala a couple years ago, lest we forget that. But at this point, like, based on where he's at contractually, where he's at in his career, the fact that it's just going to be a matter of, do you want to sign the Supermax or not? And that's really the only thing that's going to be at play. I don't see him doing the 1-and-1 again. And quite frankly, I don't know that the fan base is going to be up for it. And I think heading into the Chase Center, And again, keep in mind, if he only is going with the 1-1 and he wants to do that, hey, they'll be like, okay, cool. We're not happy about it, but damn, we'll do whatever we can to keep you here. But with this team rolling into the Chase Center, they want to make sure that they have as many cornerstone pieces, as many, you know, pieces in that foundation as they can. I mean, Steph's inked up long term. I think it's just going to be a matter of when the season ends, you offer Clay a max contract. They can't really quibble with that, right? I mean, I don't see that going well. You don't want to open up the door to let other teams come in, you know, to maybe alienate Klay Thompson by offering him less than what he feels he's worth. And then you'll have to deal with Draymond's contract coming up at some point, probably this season, or maybe even you table that till next offseason. But with Kevin, with KD, there's going to be obviously suitors around the block lined up ready to offer this guy a max contract, whether it's Brooklyn, the Knicks, the Clippers, hell, the Lakers. I mean, there's a ton of teams that are going to be in on KD. So ultimately, it's up to him. Now, would it be storybook as hell if he cruised on in and helped this team win game 5, win game 6, win game 7? Of course. I mean, hey, let's be real. Like, that's why I love sports, seeing something that, like, you know, is unexpected, something special. I don't have a rooting interest in the Golden State Warriors. I admire this collection of players. I'm a fan of the way the Warriors play basketball. I'm a fan of these guys, like, as individuals. I enjoy Steph Curry. I enjoy Klay Thompson. I enjoy Draymond Green. I enjoy Kevon Looney. They've provided me as a sports fan with a lot of thrills. They've provided me with a lot to talk about the last couple of years. And, you know, I think that they'll continue to do that. But the KD thing is so, it's just so polarizing, because while I could understand Warriors fans' frustrations if he left, look, how did Oklahoma City fans feel when he came here? And if nobody was lamenting him here in the Bay for choosing to come here as a free agent, then I don't think it's fair to rake him over the coals if he chooses to leave as a free agent, right? These guys earn that right. Like, sports are like that, man. There's no loyalty in this. It's business, okay? And he's got to do what he's got to do for Kevin Durant's sake, right? And while it's hard for me to resolve why he would want to leave here, I mean, you know, you've got great fans, you're moving into a new building, you're living in California, you've got a team that's ready-made. And keep in mind, Kevin Durant, he knows what time it is. He's looked around the rest of the NBA, like seeing what's going on with Kyrie Irving, seeing what's going on with Anthony Davis, seeing what's going on with LeBron James. Like, you think he's not noticing that and saying, damn, I got it pretty good here. But that's up to KD. And ultimately, that's just going to have to be his decision. It'd be kind of cool, though, if he came back in Game 5. I know that. Give me something to talk about. Give me something to be excited about. We'll see. And if we have any KD news, we'll break it for you, of course. 95.7 The Game. Coming up, we're going to talk a little Major League Baseball, but don't trip. We do have plenty of NBA talk on the way, but I wanted to get in Anthony Watrado from ESPN, talk a little bit about Major League Baseball, a little Giants, a little A's for you. We'll get that in, and then we'll shift back to some NBA conversation. All right, coming up next, Anthony Watrado, ESPN, Forbes Magazine. He's going to join me, talk a little ball on a Sunday morning. It's Ryan Covey with you. All up in the Players Club, baby.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's your host, Ryan Covey.
What's happening, everybody? By the way, I have a horrible producer in the other room eating a McDonald's, one of those little, what the hell are those things called? Little potato things. What are they called? I'm sorry, one more time, Spadoni. Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, big couple of complicated words there. Hash browns.
You know, you've got a big mouth.
Yeah,
know?
You do. I told Gabe I wanted some McDonald's. We were talking about it. So what did he do? He ordered McDonald's for himself. And nobody else gets any. And now he's just sitting there in the window lording it over me. That's all right. That's all right, dude. Really appreciate it, man. Hope that sucks. All right. What's happening, everybody? It is Sunday morning. Ryan Covey with you. We're going to talk a little Major League Baseball now with Anthony Watrado, ESPN, Forbes Magazine. Nice enough to join us for a few minutes. Anthony, top of the morning. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I need some McDonald's, too.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. And, like, I was talking about it with him, like, in the control room before the show. I'm like, man, I'm hungry. Kind of had a late night last night, getting up early on a Sunday morning. And then all of a sudden I see this big bag of McDonald's. I'm like, oh, look at that, man. He got something for everybody, and it's just for him. It's unbelievable, man. These children of privilege, these damn millennials, Anthony. This is what I deal with every day. It's crazy.
I'm telling you, bro. I'm with you. We had a graduation party that turned into an adult party, and today McDonald's would be perfect.
Right? Yeah. So, anyway, I got to watch him on the other side of the glass just stuffing it in his face. And, yeah, it's really annoying. All right. Let's talk a little bit of Major League Baseball. Hey, I want to start with the big moves this week. We finally saw Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell get signed up after that period where the draft pick compensation passed. Bigger move: Braves getting Keuchel or Cubs getting Kimbrell? What say you, Anthony Wittrott?
Yeah, I think the Cubs getting Kimbrell. We've seen time and time again how big bullpens are. We saw it when Houston beat the Dodgers most recently. We saw it when the Royals made two World Series appearances. We saw it with the Giants a couple of times where a dominant bullpen was kind of their key, even though we might not remember it that way, but their bullpen was absolutely a key to the winning those last two World Series. And so I think the Cubs really come out ahead in this thing because solidifying what they have there goes a long way when you have a championship caliber roster. I don't think the Braves are there yet. Keuchel helps them. He's also definitely on the downside of, not that it makes him a bad pitcher, but he's on the decline of his prime.
Sure.
And so Kimbrell, I don't think, is there. I think Kimbrell can still be a very dominant reliever. And given where I think the Cubs' expectations are, he's the bigger signing to me.
Let me ask you this, Anthony. Speaking of the Chicago Cubs, do you think, when you erase a curse a couple of years ago and win the first World Series in 100 years, blah, 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 I mean, that'll buy you a lot of continuity with the fan base. That'll build up a lot of equity. But, a lot of money's been spent on this team. And, you look at the roster, it's clear that there's still a ton of talent there. They're a playoff team every year. Is this kind of, we hear the term World Series hangover. And, the Cubs made it to the NLCS the following year. I know they sputtered out a little bit last year, but based on where this franchise has been throughout its history, this is an unprecedented run they've been on the last couple of years. But it's, the old adage, to whom much is given, much is expected. Is this kind of the year that, the shine of the World Series is maybe worn off a bit and where it's time to like, okay, that's cool, that happened, but hey, let's go win another one now, right?
Yeah, eventually you get to that point for sure. And like you said, they got themselves some equity by winning that one and being the first team to do it. Basically in the franchise's history. But with winning comes expectations, and those expectations are now, and their window is right now because they're not necessarily a young team anymore. They have some youngish guys like Chris Bryant, but Chris Bryant is going to be a free agent before people realize. And so, that window for them to win is happening right now, and it's actually getting, it's shutting. And so that's why I think also that signing for Kimbrell is huge, because they're not going to be this kind of team for much longer without doing some other kind of big move. And so because they've drafted okay, but there's no big-time top prospects or a pool of them waiting. Unlike, you kind of look at the Dodgers and you go around that diamond and you see a lot of homegrown guys who are still very much under team control. And the Cubs aren't that right now.
Right.
So that Kimbrell signing for them is huge because I think they realize the window is now. We have to go get this thing.
Talking to Anthony Wittrott of ESPN and Forbes Magazine, Ryan Covey with you, 95.7 The Game. Happy Sunday morning. Hey, the New York Yankees, they got Didi Gregorius back. They've weathered the storm. Has it surprised you just how good the Yankees have been, especially considering just how hard they've been hit with injury this year? I mean, we know they're deep. We know they got a big-time payroll, but there's got to be a little something more to it than that. I mean, this thing has stayed on track, even though they've dealt with just one injury after another.
I think for them, they're playing a different brand of baseball. So are the Astros. So are the Dodgers. It has to do with their depth. And, we used to say, okay, the whole money ball thing is not necessarily about guys who draw walks or hit home runs or things like that. Everybody knows that thing is out there or those assets are out there. And I think now the new market inefficiency and the thing that teams are sort of neglecting aside from teams like I mentioned, the Rays are you could also throw in there, is depth. And taking advantage of things like platoons when they suit you and being able to play matchups. And I think the Yankees' depth has gotten them to this point. You know, they were hit with a ton of injuries, obviously, but they built a roster that could sustain it. This isn't luck that's happening here. And so because of that, they've been able to stay afloat. And not only stay afloat, but stay atop that division. And I think going forward, you're going to see teams realize the Giants are going to start doing it. Their teams are realizing that you need more than the nine guys or the eight guys to start for you regularly. And I think the sooner teams realize that, the sooner teams are going to be competitive for longer.
How good can Austin Meadows be, man? I've been watching this guy. He's incredible.
Yeah, really good player, obviously. I'm not breaking any news to you.
Right.
Here,
but, hit the breaking news sounder. I mean, no, he's got everything, man. He's incredible. I didn't know a whole heck of a lot about him. And I mean, here's Tampa Bay. Like, they're legit, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They were my World Series pick coming into the season for the American League. I mean, we don't remember a lot about them because they didn't make the playoffs last year, but they would have made the playoffs in just about any other division in the game last season, except they were stuck behind the Yankees and the Red Sox in the AL East. They won 91 games, I think it was, last year. I mean, that's a playoff team almost any other year. So they are absolutely a legitimate team. They play defense. They have depth, like I was just talking about. You know, they work those platoons very well. They've built that roster to have sustained success. It's something that the A's actually haven't been able to do with a similar payroll, and there are reasons for it that we can discuss and debate on at a different time. But they've done it so that window stays open longer.
Yeah, it's incredible to watch. Hey, Anthony, I know you're based down in L.A. You know, the Dodgers have been on a pretty solid run the last couple years, been to the World Series. I mean, they've been right on the doorstep but haven't punched through. And, you know, I give that team a ton of credit for, you know, clawing their way back in and you know, picking themselves up after a couple of really tough playoff losses and a couple of tough series losses. But here we are again, Dodgers just mowing through the division. I just feel like, though, at this point, because they've been so close to that summit without reaching it, I mean, are we to the point now with the Dodgers where anything other than a World Series title is a failure for the season?
I think they've been there for a few years now. You know, they didn't get to that point. You know, the year they lost to the Cubs, I thought was a year that they were the better team, and the Cubs went on to win that when they beat Cleveland. I think that was in 16,
yep.
And then 17 they get there, and again, I thought they were the better team, just overall, and their bullpen cannot get an out, and they lose that series. I mean, they should have been up 2-0 going into Houston and probably should have finished that series out there.
Right.
But again, bullpen, and last year they were just not good enough last year at that time. They were a really, really good team. They weren't better than Boston at that time. And right now you're seeing them just being, from what I think, and I may be biased because I see them up close so often.
Sure.
I think they're the best team in baseball. When you look at the 25-man roster, I think they've built the best team in baseball. The Astros are a very close second. I think, though, that their Achilles heel again, and what could cost them again, is that bullpen. They've yet to address it to a point where people can be confident in them getting outs when the leverages are high. And unless they fix that, they're going to be a question mark. But right now, I think roster construction-wise, they're the best team in baseball.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. And my partner at night, Butcher Boy Joe Shasky, he just is in love with Cody Bellinger. And, I mean, his rise has been just meteoric. And it just, you know, when you sit back and watch the way the Dodgers have built that thing up, especially from, you know, up here in Giants land, it's irritating because, you know, they've got a lot of, like you said, a lot of homegrown products and a lot of guys that have come up the ranks. And I think Giants fans are kind of waiting for the Giants to have their day. You know, as far as Farhan Zaidi and the job that he's got up here with the Giants, and I know how familiar you are with Farhan and his philosophy, his baseball ideology. You know, a lot of these guys have no movement clauses, and he can't really deconstruct this roster the way that he would like. But, you know, I mean, here's Madison Bumgarner, who I think if they were going to get some coveted return for him, I think they needed to move him like last year so a team could have him for two postseason runs. What kind of return do you think the Giants could even get for Madison Bumgarner right now? And do you think maybe they should even look to just retain him and just keep him a Giant for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, the Giants' front office before Farhan screwed him. They did. Bumgarner should not be on that roster right now. They had a pipe dream of contending when they were not a contending team and going out and trading Christian Arroyo for Evan Longoria, who has an absolutely untradeable contract.
He's awful.
You know, going out and doing things and making moves that just weren't realistic. And they were so afraid of being branded as a rebuild or a retool or whatever you want to call it, that they hung on too long. And I've written and I've said over the past couple of years, they're in danger of becoming the Phillies, what the Phillies were, and the Tigers, what the Tigers currently are, by hanging on to those guys, overpaying for players, and trying to continue to contend when they clearly weren't good enough. And now we're smack dab in the middle of it.
Yeah.
A team that might lose 100 games, might lose 100 games next season, and really can't. They don't have any maneuverability because, as you said, they have contracts on those books that you cannot move. You can't move Samardzija. You can't move Longoria. You can't move Posey. You know, those guys are not tradable. So to start the rebuild is impossible right now.
Yeah, and I know that he'd love to get busy and start carving up that roster. And, you know, with all due respect to guys like Crawford and Posey, I mean, they're responsible for some of the best moments. They're not going to be part of what fixes this team going forward. I don't see it happening. And, you know, they earn those no movement clauses in their contracts and, you know, they control their fate. But until the Giants are able to get some of those guys off the books, it's just basically a pit of despair, Anthony. Hey, I want to ask you quickly about the Oakland A's. And, you know, we know that every year it's like make it to the wild card game, suffer a bad loss. And, you know, when you're playing in the Astros division, when you're playing in the AL West, you're ostensibly playing for a wild card position from the jump anyway. How did the A's get there? I mean, is it just a matter of getting a little more quality starting pitching? What do you think's really the main thing holding this team back? Because, you know, I look at offensively, they're stacked. I mean, defensively, they're terrific. They got gold gloves all over the place. The bullpen, maybe not as good as it was last year, but they still got some pretty good arms there as well. I do worry about the starting pitching for the A's. Is that their primary area of concern for you?
For sure. For sure. It was last year. I thought it is this year. It's their rotation. Those are things that can be addressed at the deadline if they choose to make a run. You know, they can go out and get that. They can do that Lester kind of trade that they did with 15 or 16, whenever it was. They have the pieces to be able to do that. Again, though, it's a short-term fix. To keep that window open, they're going to have to start cultivating their own so that they have those guys under team control for much longer than just what the rental might be.
All right.
If I'm them, honestly, I bite the bullet and say what I call the Nationals and I say, what does it take to get Max Scherzer off of your hands? I really do, because I think the A's are close, and I think a guy like him, not only is it his presence, he could be the CC Sabathia. When Sabathia went to Milwaukee, he could be that type of presence for Oakland, I think, but you get him for a couple of years. And you know what? They can go right around and trade him at this time next year if they wanted to.
Right.
And get just as much in return, because he's that kind of pitcher and he's got time left on that deal. They got to go bold. If they are truly into win a World Series, they have to be bold. And that Lester trade was that. This trade would be even more of that. And not only would it be him on the mound every fifth day, it would be a message in that clubhouse that says, you know what? We're here to win it. Despite where we might play and despite what the payroll might be and our reputation for trading guys in their prime, we're here to do this right now. And I think that that goes a long way for these guys.
Oh, 100%. Boy, that would be a signal of intent, a loud statement to say the least. What do you think it would take to get a guy like Scherzer? That'd be, I'd imagine that'd be a pretty pretty large bounty heading back to the Nationals.
Yeah, kiss your prospects goodbye.
Right.
That's what it would take. But you want that parade, that's what it takes, because you don't have that kind of guy anywhere in your system right now.
Yeah, boy, Scherzer, boy, that would be definitely earth-shattering stuff right there. Hey, just quickly on Bryce Harper's tenure. I know it's still early. He obviously got a long way to go on that contract, Anthony. We're only a couple of months in, but you know, he's sitting there, 44 RBIs in 64 games. What's he hitting, about 250 right now? And hey, the most important thing: Phillies are 10 games over 500 and a couple games in first in the East. How are you grading out Bryce Harper's tenure so far with the Phillies?
He's an A so far. I mean, he's the guy that I think I would hope they expected. You know, he's a 250 hitter. That's who he is now. He's not Manny Machado, who's going to give you 35 homers and hit 320. He's not that player. He's a different kind of guy. He's gonna strike out. He's gonna draw walks. He's gonna hit home runs, and he's gonna hit you about 250. And that's who he is. His MVP season is the outlier right now. He's a borderline MVP candidate every year, though, and that's pretty good. We could talk about whether the contract was worth those numbers or not, but I think right now, looking at where they sit in the division, it's an A.
Too early to tell, obviously, but who's your way early MVPs right now in National League and American League?
Cody Bellinger in
ridiculous.
The National League.
Yeah.
I think that one's kind of a no-brainer. In the American League, that's a little tougher. I think you probably look at the Astros roster and you go,
yeah, just pick one. Just roll the wheel and see who comes up.
I think you can kind of look there and you go, okay, you know, we can probably pluck somebody off this thing. But a third through the season, I think the National League is an easy call in Bellinger, and I think you can kind of take your pick about, you know, who's hottest for the Astros at the moment.
Yeah, and hey, you know, when I'm looking at it, I mean, Mike Trout is Mike Trout, and he's he's the best player in baseball. But boy, I kind of feel like Bellinger is pounding on that door right now of like the best player in the game.
I'm hesitant to go there. I think that before I answer that, I want people to understand that we are seeing very, very possibly the best player to ever pick up a bat and a glove play right now in his prime.
Yeah.
Watch Angels games. Watch Angels games, please. It's easier for us on the West Coast, so do it. The guy is amazing.
I know.
I mean, he could very well go down as the best player ever to play baseball. With that said, Bellinger, in terms of fighting for position of best player in baseball, is with the season he's putting up, he's reaching for that, and he plays incredible defense. That's kind of the thing that separates him from the rest of the guys like Christian Yelich and Mookie Betts, are that those guys are good, sometimes great, and their defense is they're just kind of there. Bellinger is outstanding defensively. He's a Gold Glove guy multiple times over, I think, before his career is over. And if he continues to do the kinds of things he's doing with his strike zone recognition, his patience at the plate, his ability to go the other way with the ball now, and his ability to cover up the holes that had exposed him last year, he's looking at being, I won't say Mike Trout-esque, because again, I think Mike Trout might be the best player to ever play baseball, but a close second.
Yeah, and what about Trout's deal? What's going on with that?
Bargain.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, when you look at what Harper and Machado got,
right,
and you go, this guy, now, you know, you look at those deals and you go, okay, now let's take a guy who is clearly head and shoulders better than both of those players.
Right.
What would you give him on the open market? And then you would come up with a number based on those other two contracts. And the Angels paid him far less than that.
Yeah, that's insane, man. And, you know, I just felt like, boy, you might want to, you know, I don't know, go play for the Yankees or, you know, and I guess at some point he could still get moved, but it just, I don't know. Mike Trout, he's a unique individual,
he
man.
He likes it there, you know, and there's something to be said there's something to be said for that. He thinks that they have a front office that can put together a roster that can eventually win. And him signing the deal that says, I'm going to be here for the long term, I'm going to let you guys build this thing, is meaningful not only for the franchise and the players on that roster now, but for free agents going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. That just speaks to, hey, we've got the best player in the game. He's going to be around for a while, so come on down. Hey, Anthony, man, really appreciate you coming on a Sunday morning. Go get some McDonald's. I know my producer didn't get me any, so maybe you have better luck than I do, all right?
Well, he didn't get me any either, so we all got beef with him.
All right, player. Thanks. Appreciate you, Anthony. We'll talk to you, brother.
All right, man.
All right, good stuff from Anthony with Toronto. Boy, Max Scherzer, right? I mean, that's like, you want to talk about a statement of intent from the Oakland A's? Like, that's a sexy name right there. And you look at Scherzer's numbers. I mean, it is. I know right now he's had a bit of a down year as far as wins and losses, but still got a solid ERA sitting there at 2.83. I mean, Max Scherzer to the Oakland A's, that means we are trying to win the World Series right now. But damn, you would have to give up a ridiculous haul of prospects. But to get Max Scherzer. And, I mean, we always know that the Oakland A's season, if they make the playoffs, is going to come down to the one-game playoff, right? I mean, it always does because, well, they play in the AL West with the Houston Astros. But to have Scherzer to throw in that game, wow. That would be a nice ace up their sleeve for sure for Bob Melvin and company. And, I mean, you just look at Scherzer's numbers down the year, I mean, you know, he's top five in Cy Young voting every year for the last one, two, three, four, five, last 6 years, and he's got three of them on the shelf. It really doesn't get any better than that. And, I mean, I know he's thrown a lot of innings, but Scherzer, I don't know. I mean, look, he's got, go back to 2013, 214, 220, 228, 228, 200, 220, 92 right now, leads the majors. That's just a picture of consistency for me. You do worry about a pitcher breaking down, but hey, it's always a risk when you bring in a pitcher like that. But that's the cost of doing business for elite starting pitching. And doesn't look like the Nationals are going anywhere. So I guess, you know, potentially he could be had. That's a name we're probably going to be hearing a lot as the summer rolls on and we get closer to the trade deadline. Madison Bumgarner, though, I don't know what you're going to get for him. And I almost feel like he's got more value to this team. I think it really comes down to what Madison wants. I mean, you know, Farhan has to sit him down and talk to him. I don't think that they're going to be into giving him a 5-year contract, you know, worth, you know, $150 million or something. I don't see that happening, but I don't know, maybe a 3-year deal. And Madison's got to read the writing on the wall and know where this roster's at for the Giants. Like, this team's not going to contend for the next couple of years. Now, does he think he has enough tread on the tires to where when this team finally starts to get good again, when they circle through and get this young crop of players, you know, when the Joey Barts and the Elliot Ramoses start coming of age and start making this roster, will he still have something to offer then? Potentially. But, I mean, we could be talking 2 or 3 years out. I mean, maybe even longer. That's how dire this situation is for the Giants. All right, just wanted to sneak in a little baseball. A little bit later on, we're going to talk to Jennifer Lee Chan. But coming up next, I wanted to get in a little sound from the Golden State Warriors as we get ready. Game 5 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow night right here on 95.7 The Game. That'll be a 6 o'clock tip. So coming up on the other side, we'll hear a little bit from Steve Kerr about Kevon Looney's performance. And I got some sound from Kawhi Leonard that is just so Kawhi Leonard, you're going to need to hear it. We'll get into that more and more coming up Sunday morning. Ryan Covey with you. It's 95.7 The Game. I still don't have any McDonald's.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's your host, Ryan Covey.
That guy's awesome. Oh, hey. Hey, guys. We're back. Sunday morning, 95.7 The Gizame. Sorry, I'll never say that again. Hope everybody's having a lovely, lovely Sunday morning. Dude, game 5 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow. I'll tell you this much. You can't have a historic comeback without falling into a hole, right? I mean, am I right? San Jose Sharks down 3-1 in round 1 against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Came back and won the series. Golden State Warriors down 3-1 to the Oklahoma City Thunder a couple years ago. Hell, think about last year. Warriors down 3-2 to the Rockets. We were throwing dirt on them then. All I'm saying is, 3 wins don't win you a series. Does it look bad? Yeah. Could I see Toronto putting the stomp down on him tomorrow? Yeah, I could. No doubt. But if KD plays, and that's a big if, I realize that, and if we hear anything concrete, we'll let you know. And I don't think anything would be made official until tomorrow anyway. But we will definitely let you know. A couple people checking in on the idea of the A's acquiring Max Scherzer, 831, Max Scherzer, and then a Bumgarner for a rental. Can you imagine the A's being able to get a 1-2 starter punch when it's high stakes? Wow. Well, think about what you, I mean, you think you'd have to give up the cupboard to get Max Scherzer and then to get Bumgarner on top of it. And I don't know that the Giants are going to be doing a deal with the Oakland A's. It's hard for me to picture that. The A's would have to overpay based on where the market was at for Bumgarner in order for the Giants to do that deal. Stranger things have happened. 510, no thanks to Scherzer. You'd have to give up way too much. He can only pitch every 5 days. Oh, yeah, F. Lester. Great text. All right. Yeah, I think that worked out pretty well for John Lester, you know, helping the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. I don't think he'd trade that. And spoiler alert, neither would I. I don't think I've ever seen my dad happier. My old man's from Chicago. So when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series that night, I was so happy for my pops. That was special. All right. 888-957-9570. Warriors fans, jump on in. Can this be done? Give me your scenario for how the Golden State Warriors win Game 5. And let's just assume that Kevin Durant's not playing. So it can't just be Kevin Durant riding on his white horse and save the day. Okay? Give me a scenario where the Golden State Warriors win Game 5 in Toronto. What needs to happen? I'll tell you for me, excuse me, a couple of things that absolutely need to happen. One, Draymond Green and company got to cut down on the turnovers. Draymond Green's averaging more turnovers per game than made field goals. Okay, that's not good. 5 turnovers in Game 4 for Draymond Green. He's averaging 5 turnovers a game in this series. I know he's got the rock in his hands a lot, but you just can't afford to have it happen. And I think because the Raptors are so physical, so big, so long, so imposing, that Draymond is getting worn out defensively. And keep in mind, he doesn't have KD with him. He didn't have Kevon Looney in Game 3. And, you know, Bogut and Cousins haven't been great. So Draymond Green has had to do a lot as far as protecting the paint, rebounding, etc. And to that end, I mean, he's done all that he can, I think. But if they're going to have success, they're going to need more offense from him, clearly. Draymond's got to get me 20 points in Game 5. Andre Iguodala has to hit 3 3-pointers, okay? He's got to give me double figures, and he's got to make a couple of threes. And then when you look at the McKinney, Livingston, Quinn Cook, your Rebco contingent, just one of those guys, and I'll throw Bogut in there, just one of those guys has got to get me double figures also. And then the Splash Brothers got to do their thing. Clay and Steph have to combine for 60? Maybe even 65. I think it's that drastic. 92 points in the NBA Finals, not going to cut it. Do you still believe, Warriors fans? Do you still believe, or is Game 5 a formality? 888-957-9570. This is the most Kawhi Leonard thing ever. Kawhi Leonard was asked what it would mean for the city of Toronto to win their first ever Larry O'Brien Trophy. Here's what he said.
If the Raptors win the NBA title, what do you think this will mean for Canada and the Toronto Raptors? You've already won with the San Antonio Spurs. You've seen the way it impacted that community. What do you think this will do for Canada?
I'm really not sure. I guess you really have to ask somebody on the street or one of our fans.
Wow. I mean, how about it would be special, right? It's never been done before. It would be great. The city of Toronto is on fire right now. I've been out in Jurassic Park. I've seen the fans. They're having the time of their life. It would be a party like Canada's never seen since the Montreal Canadiens won in 1986. I don't know. No, you just have to ask somebody that lives here. What did Magic Johnson say? I'm not going to be here, right? That's basically what Kawhi is talking about. He's great. I think we need more superstars like Kawhi Leonard because they're just so interesting, right? And we were talking to Bonte Hill earlier before he flew up to Toronto, and Tay hit on something great. Like, Kawhi, the reason that he got away with everything that happened in San Antonio is because he just didn't talk about it. He just went out and played basketball. And as much as it's annoying for people that we want to get a quote and we want to tell the story, we want to advance the story, we want the soap opera angle, if they never talk, like, then all we can do is speculate and infer. But if they never say anything disparaging about anybody, they never have a misstep with the media, it just it's so much harder to crucify him then. It really is. And that's why I think Kevin Durant has, in some ways, and let me preface this by saying, he's entitled to do whatever he wants. It's a free country. We make way too much of what these guys say and do, I personally think. But he doesn't do himself a lot of favors because, you know, he's pretty picky and choosy about when he wants to talk, what he wants to talk about, you know. And again, hey, do what you got to do, right? But just know that when you're on that level, everything you say is going to be hyperanalyzed. And collectively, the sports world, the NBA, was very sensitive around the Kevin Durant issue because they feel like, oh, here's a superstar that didn't do it on his own and joined up with a ready-made team. And that's always going to be held against him in the court of public opinion. All right, 888-957-9570. What needs to happen for the Golden State Warriors to win Game 5? And do you still believe? Do you still believe that this team can find a way? Let's go to JJ in the city. Go ahead, JJ.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, brother.
I just have a quick question for you, man. I'm just trying to see. This whole series, I haven't seen no physicality. No one's bumping. No one. I'm not saying hurt somebody, but we need a little more physicality. We got Bogut on the bench. Let him pick up three quick fouls or something, but let him know that our presence is there. And, hey, listen, if there's one team that can do this, it's us, right? And this is a storybook ending, hopefully, to the dynasty. And if Durant goes, he goes, right? If he stays, he stays. But why not make one last little splash of history before we close this chapter out?
Love it. Great call, JJ. And, you know, I got no problem with setting the tone physically. I think that, you know, it's playoff basketball. It's the NBA Finals. You want to make sure you're engaged physically. The problem is you can't really afford to put the Raptors on the free throw line because they're making all their damn free throws. The Raptors were 23 of 24 from the line in Game 4. 23 of 24. The Golden State Warriors were 14 of 21. I mean, that was a huge difference in the game. And I remember sitting there, you know, the Warriors came out with intent in game 4. They came out charged up. They looked like a team on a mission. Defensively in the first quarter, they were switching. They were executing. It was crisp. They were doing a lot of things right. And then you looked up. Remember that Curry shot got taken off the board because he ended up getting it off after the shot clock expired. They reviewed that. You look up and they were up 6. And then you go to halftime and what were they up 4? And then Kawhi Leonard right away in the third quarter. Bang, bang. Back-to-back three-pointers. Just a couple of gut punches straight away. And you just felt the air get sucked out of that place. And it was going to be a long way back. But I felt like after the first quarter when I looked up and they were only up 6 and it felt like they should have been up like 15, I knew that was going to be a problem because at some point that adrenaline was going to wear off and at some point Toronto was going to begin to impose their will. And at some point, you know, these injuries have caught up with them. There's a difference, y'all, between a reason and an excuse when you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco Radio.com sports station. There's a reason. There's a difference between a reason and an excuse. There are no excuses at this level. If you didn't win, you don't win the title. Hey, you made it to the finals, but you didn't win. That's what happened. But the reason is because this team is limping across the finish line. Everybody's hurt. Everybody. And you show me a team that just won a title, I'll show you a team that stayed relatively healthy. That's not an exact truism across the board, but pretty damn close. 888-957-9570. Do you still believe that the Golden State Warriors can win this series? How do they win Game 5? Let's go to Patrick in Santa Clara. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yo. So I was basically rewatching Game 3 and 4 on YouTube, and I definitely still believe that we can do it. Definitely if the Splash Brothers are hot and they get some contributions from others. But the one thing I really noticed was that Toronto, you got to give them credit, man. You know, they have a lot of shooters, a lot of people who can knock down shots. They got a lot of killers basically on their team. Everybody seems to be pretty confident in hitting an open shot, whereas when we were playing against the Western teams, you know, only really you had to focus on maybe 1, 2, 3 guys. You know, you got to focus on like 5, maybe 6 with even Danny Green.
Sure.
And then another thing was that I saw a lot of basically Siakam and VanVleet driving and other people just taking it almost three quarters of the court and somebody trying to help and stop them. And basically, you know, somebody was always wide open. So they're very good at finding somebody who's wide open. And of course, they're going to knock it down, you know, with any type of space. So I'm wondering, you know, what are your thoughts on how are we going to combat that stuff? You know, it's pretty difficult when everybody can shoot.
No, you're right. And I mean, look, and thanks for the call, Patrick. Look, Danny Green and Kyle Lowry in particular, they can be very sporadic with their makes and their misses. But like Kawhi Leonard's mid-range game has been on point. I mean, every time that little turnaround jumper, he can basically get it off at will. Okay, Pascal Siakam, his offensive game has evolved so much in and around the basket. I mean, he's got a soft touch. He's got that little up and under. I mean, there's just so many different ways he can beat you with that little jump hook. Siakam's game around the rim is nice. Gasol, down the years, Gasol's been a decent offensive player. And then you throw in Freddie VanVleet and, you know, and as I mentioned, Lowry and Siakam. Look, here's the deal. Kawhi Leonard is like the benchmark of consistency right now. You can pencil him in for between 30 and 35 points every game, right? And then it's somebody else stepping up every night, okay? Somebody else steps up every night for this team. It's a different guy, and that's what the Warriors haven't gotten. They've had that stuff in the past, but they haven't gotten it this time around. And that's when you need, like, you know, a guy like Kevon Looney to go for 20 or, you know, DeMarcus Cousins to get you 20. And unfortunately, they just don't seem to have it in the tank right now. Let's see. From the 240. Man, stop bitching about the injuries. Look, that's just the score. Like, you see what the Warriors look like at full strength. It's not an excuse. It's just the reason. It's just the facts. Nobody's going to be throwing any pity parties for the Dubs. I mean, hell, you know, that was used against them back in 2014. Well, hey, if Kyrie and Kevin Love hadn't gotten hurt, right? And then what about last year? Hey, if Chris Paul hadn't pulled his hammy. But that ain't what happened. They didn't stay healthy. And if the Warriors don't win this year, that's going to be a part of it. And I will give the Raptors all the credit in the world. They've been terrific. Kawhi's leading the way, and his soldiers are falling in line without question. Let's go to Chad and Marin. Go ahead, Chad.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good, brother.
Yeah, well, I just got to say, the coaching, the Raptors coaching has been phenomenal. Whoever their coach is, I'm not really familiar with the guy. But, you know, usually a team gets to the finals for the first time and there's an adjustment period. There's a feeling out period where a coach is there for the first time. We've seen it. I'm old enough to know, to have watched the Bulls. They always had this advantage that they would start out a series with. They've been there before. But every time that the Warriors have made a run, there's no panic. There's always an answer. And you throw in Kawhi Leonard, and that guy's just a beast.
Yeah,
it's just fun. This is just fun basketball to watch, I got to say.
No, you're right, Chad, and I appreciate the call. And you know, that's the thing that's really surprised me about Toronto. I didn't know if like this moment was going to be too big for them. And we see with the Warriors. I mean, under Steve Kerr, before the NBA Finals, they were 18-1 in game ones of a series under Steve Kerr. That's experience. That's just, you know, the other team coming in knowing that they're at a disadvantage and the Warriors preying on that, right? It was different this time around. And I think, although this is the first time the Raptors have been in the NBA Finals, Kawhi Leonard's a Finals MVP, right? I mean, we've seen that. Danny Green, he's played in a bunch of big playoff games. He's been on an NBA championship team. Marc Gasol, he's gone in. You know, he's been in on playoff teams with the Memphis Grizzlies. So they've got playoff experience as a group. And I think this team has really grown. I mean, this grind that they...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.